1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Talk show hosts present and past speak out after ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely over comments about the death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. David Letterman spoke at the Atlantic Festival.
You can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful or trying to suck up to an authoritarian.
FCC Chair Brendan Carr tells Fox.
This is a massive shift that's taking place in the media ecosystem, and I think the consequences are going to continue to flow.
Officials in Washington state believe they found the remains of fugitive father Travis Decker near Leavenworth. Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison.
We're hoping to get results back and get a confirmation. Is this Mr. Decker or is it not? And we're also looking towards our medical team to go through and do an assessment of how long he'd been deceased.
President Trump expected to confirm a deal with China's Xi Jinping today to save TikTok in the U.S.
The kind of money we're talking about is very substantial. And it'll be owned by all American investors.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. Those gathered at the state capitol were greeted by the strings of the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra on Thursday for the state superintendent's State of Education Address. Dr. Jill Underley took to the podium to share the story of education in the Badger State.
Across Wisconsin, our public schools are strong. They are resilient places where every child belongs, where diversity is celebrated, not demonized, where differences aren't feared, but embraced and seen as opportunities to grow together as human beings.
Dr. Underley explained the opposition public schools are facing from the federal government.
Because instead of being a true partner, the Federal Department of Education is using critical funding as a bargaining chip, threatening or withholding it with little or no notice while demanding compliance with unclear and unlawful demands. They're working to undermine the very things that make our schools strong, welcoming and inclusive places.
She said when we overlook students, it shows up in their learning.
And those who reduce a student's success to a single test score miss the full story, the full human behind that number.
Dr. Underley also addressed the school voucher system.
And here's the truth. We are starving one system while funding another. We cannot afford to keep pulling resources away from public schools to fund private ones and expect both to thrive.
She said the next chapter's pages are still blank.
Will we be the generation that looked away as our schools crumbled? Or will we be the ones who stood up, kept our promise, and chose to write a different story?
What happens next is up to Wisconsinites.
Let us choose to write a better story for our kids, for our schools, for the Wisconsin we believe in. Thank you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay.
Meet me in St. Louis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. The Brewers in St. Louis tonight against the Cardinals. The crew with a 5-2 win last night at home against the Angels. Christian Yelich, 2-for-4, driving in his 100th RBI of the season. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's quite an accomplishment for any player. Yelly, you know, if you took the number of hard hit balls that were caught this year by Yelich over 100 and whatever miles an hour, you'd be astounded.
Milwaukee's magic number down to 4. The Angels losing their 7th in a row. Football, the Badgers host Maryland tomorrow, kickoff 11 a.m. The Packers head to Cleveland to play the Browns Sunday at noon. The Lions, Commanders, and now the Browns all trying to stop Green Bay's ground game.
A lot of these teams that we play, we already know they're going to load the box. It's going to be 8 to 9 guys in there. Safety's going to be flowing hard. It just is what it is. It's what we got to expect, so we got to learn how to make adjustments from that.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies for today. Most of the day will be dry, but a shower, perhaps a thunderstorm, possible late in the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. Showers and thunderstorms becoming more likely tonight. It'll be a mild night with lows in the upper 50s to near 60. Currently, it's 62.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Bills
and Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin!
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten opener against the Maryland Terrapins. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the state of free speech in the U.S. Also, what's going on with the Epstein files? Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan joins us in hour number one. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on a Friday morning. It is September 19th, 2025. Parker Olson's producing things down in Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. And so is our Week in Review panel. Journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel to talk about the big stories of the week. And obviously, what is happening to our First Amendment in our corporate media is going to be a big part of this hour's discussions. In our next hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us along with Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, talking about a big diaper drive going on for a local diaper bank and how you can help out and how your donations can be doubled thanks to somebody who's going to be matching all of those gifts. And Mike Clemens will be along at 8:35 to talk all about the Brewers sweeping the Angels and now heading to St. Louis for a series against the Cardinals. And then they had out of the St. Louis series this weekend. They then head to, where is it? San Diego. That's right. For games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And then they come home for the final homestand of the season next weekend against Cincinnati. And that gets us to Free Ticket Friday. This is the final Free Ticket Friday of the Brewers season. So you want that Civic Media app handy to send us the keyword I'm going to give you in just a little bit. And you can get 4 tickets to next Friday night's game versus Cincinnati. And it's our last Free Ticket Friday. So listen for that keyword. You'll have until 9 o'clock to text it in. And then more keywords throughout the day, more chances to enter. One of those drawings or one of those entries today will be drawn to win those 4 tickets to the game. Now let's give it to you now. It's blue, B-L-U-E. Text the keyword blue, like the color, before 9 a.m., and you will be in the running for those Brewers tickets on Free Ticket Friday. Now let's get to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who is looking at a radar over the upper Midwest that just basically looks like an old cocktail napkin, and you put the cup of coffee on there or whatever, and it's just got these rings of a mess. And it's just these rings of rain all over the place, and you just don't know when it's going to rain, but you know you're on the napkin somewhere, Brittany.
I have never heard that comparison, and I love it. You've got me cracking up. I can't even think now.
Now
that's perfect.
Yes, I mean it is. You look at the napkin. You lift up the coffee cup, and you go, "Ooh, maybe ooh, I should maybe I should aim better when I'm pouring." But be that as it may, we got a mess across the Midwest.
We do, and this isn't even the low pressure system itself. This is still just a front wrapped through the state, but the winds are picking up. It's going to be a breezy day today, and that's going to continue into the weekend. Actually, we have a beach hazard statement on all the Lake Michigan shores through at least tomorrow. And we're also looking at Douglas County. You're going to see some of the bigger waves potentially approaching about 10 feet high. So strong winds off the lake, strong winds inland as well, and a lot of rain on and off. It's becoming numerous now throughout the state. A little heavy at times, especially right now towards Hurley, Eau Claire, Park Falls. you're kind of getting in the mix of that. But this is going to be the case as we go through the next few days. What I'm thinking is we'll have a little break this afternoon and then more starts to ramp up later tonight, or it could be heavy in spots. We might get a little bit of a break tomorrow, but then Sunday it looks to get heavy as well, and potentially into Monday too, where we could see a front setting up across southeastern parts of the state where it could just start to downpour, maybe 2 inches, 3 inches in some spots. But widespread, we're really looking at about a half an inch to an inch by the time this weekend is said and done. Really depends on if your town gets underneath multiple thunderstorms or not. This is a messy system. It has honestly been one of the hardest ones to forecast, to be honest with you. But the good news is I don't see any severe weather in it. I just see some heavy rainfall potentially. So breezy, wet, dark and dreary this weekend. Don't forget the umbrella. I actually made a post on Facebook. I want pictures of your umbrellas. I just started thinking this morning, there's got to be an array of colors and designs and things. And if you get caught in the rain, I want to see a video too.
Yes, there are absolutely so many umbrellas. That's a great idea.
I wonder if there are any umbrellas that look like Pat's shirt.
Right?
Oh, you know, the one day I don't wear a plaid or a flannel shirt, and now it's being used as fodder for umbrellas. No, it's got little umbrella. Palm trees on it. It's fine. Let's see what's in the mailbag here. First off, from Alicia. Ooh, what's with the honeycomb design on the shirt? All right, moving on here. From Roger and Stevens Point. Good morning. As the bells echo from St. Peter's Church, I tuned into the game that Chad Holmes called last night, Wausau East at Mosinee. The game had a 1 hour, 40-minute rain delay with a thunderstorm. Mosinee won 35-7 as the game went final at almost 11 p.m. Chad Holmes puts in some long days. Let's see. I know that we've got Rob and Tigerton here. Here he is. Good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy and 59, he puts on YouTube. Yesterday, I was busy mowing 5 yards in Tigerton. Yesterday, when you were all talking about pizza, I had a supreme pizza at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. And he notes that the Tigerton sunsets are rapidly coming before 7 o'clock, 6:58 is what he says sunset's going to be in Tigerton. He said last night around Lake Dubay area, north of Stevens Point, had 2.5 inches of rain. Tigerton, 0.2 inch of a rain overnight. He said, we do need the rain. It was the first in 10 days. And so that much rain is needed. And he also says he does not have an umbrella. Whereas Alicia puts on there.
You have all of that info.
I know. Alicia says, ooh, I've got a rainbow umbrella that I bought at Fox Valley Pride. So get them sent in. And I mean, do you subscribe to the whole theory of, you know, opening an umbrella inside is bad luck, or can people open their umbrella inside to make the video or the photo? Ooh. Or would you rather they be outside? Okay.
I wouldn't do that. I would be outside with it. Outside's better. Come on.
Look at you being all superstitious.
But if it's stored inside and you're not going anywhere and it's just sitting there, you can just send a picture of it just sitting there. That's fine.
Okay, that'll work. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you next hour.
Have a good day.
Hey, remember, you can sign... Where'd that go? Come back here. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a weekday version. We've got a weekend version with a Sunday morning question of the week that I put together. The weekday one is put together by Ellie, our new NewsWatch newsletter editor, and... she talks as well about the diaper drive that we're going to be discussing an hour from now with Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. So you've certainly got a story there of ways that you can help us out. And there's also a story here about a Lake Michigan shipwreck that has been found uncovered after 139 years. So learn more about that in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. In the news, there is a report that Congressman Tom Tiffany might be on the verge of announcing a run for governor. It's not an announcement that's coming from him. It came from Wisconsin College Republicans. Yesterday, they tweeted out a flyer advertising a very special event in Wausau posted by Tom Tiffany coming up next Wednesday, September 24th. Multiple Republicans in the state told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Tiffany is planning to officially jump into the 2026 governor's race next week. I mean, I'm still not thoroughly convinced because, again, putting your name out there is a great way to do fundraising and build name ID. And in the end, he could say, you know, this just isn't the right time for me. But thanks for all of you who've been writing checks recently. So again, I'll believe it when I hear it, although it would be great news for Wisconsin Republicans, because right now they have two relative unknowns who are running in Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Waukesha County business owner Bill Berrien. And so while Tom Tiffany is far better up north in the 7th Congressional District, his name, of course, has come up in countless conversations because Republicans are desperately seeking a rare win in state elections. You would get the impression that Republicans were dominant in Wisconsin to look at the legislature, but that, of course, was based on maps that were gerrymandered for over a decade. If you look at statewide elections, there have been 18 statewide elections dating back to 2018. And of those 18 statewide elections, the Democratic or the progressive candidate has won 15 of those 18 state elections. Now, there will be a primary, of course, both for the Democrats and the Republicans for the governor's race. There will be races next year for lieutenant governor, attorney general, treasurer, secretary of state. But with a wide open governor's race, Republicans are looking for somebody who has name ID. And so it is quite possible, though I would say not a certainty yet, that Tom Tiffany could get into the race in the middle of next week. Coming up this weekend, we're going to hear more about a Republican plan that would make some big changes about elections and ballot drop boxes. That note is coming from WISN-TV ahead of their Sunday show Up Front. They will be interviewing Republican State Representative Scott Krug. He's the Assembly Majority Leader. He's the Vice Chair of the Assembly Elections Committee. And it starts off with some good news. The Republican proposal that's about to be unveiled would finally allow the processing of absentee ballots the day before Election Day. That's something that should have been done a long time ago. It's not counting the ballots. That happens on Election Day. But it's a process to get the envelopes, open up the envelope. Well, first verify the envelopes against the voter list, then open them up and get them set, and then you can feed them, you know, the next day. Whereas if you're doing it day of, it stretches the process out. And frankly, Republicans haven't fixed it because they like that it's stretched out. They like that sometimes the results don't come in until after midnight because of big cities like Milwaukee, Green Bay, Racine, Kenosha, and elsewhere. And they can say, oh, there must be something suspicious going on with these ballots coming out late at night. Well, now Republicans say they are willing to pass a bill that would begin processing absentee ballots the day before. Of course, there's always a catch. And so the bill would mandate new, quote, security measures for drop boxes, including 24-hour surveillance video of each drop box that must be live streamed on the municipality's website. Ballots would also need to be transferred under the supervision of a law enforcement officer, and the legislation would penalize clerks who correct errors on absentee ballot requests. In other words, this is going after a fly with a sledgehammer. This is overkill to the umpteenth degree here. Surveillance video on every drop box that has to be live streamed on the municipality website. I'll say it again, there is already a penalty for mail fraud. If you use the mail fraudulently, you're going to get in trouble. Do we put 24-hour cameras on every mailbox? Does the city of Chippewa Falls have to have a website showing the webcams of every mailbox? No. Same goes for absentee ballot drop boxes. I'm up here in the town of Eagle Point, has a beautiful old town hall. You're telling me that this town and every other township that wants an absentee ballot drop box now has to go through the expense of a live stream 24-hour camera and has to have a law enforcement officer there to transfer the ballots? Once again, these Republican legislators are teasing you by saying, hey, we're willing to make elections go a little bit more smoothly, processing those absentee ballots, but here's some strings attached. And they're not even strings. These are ropes. These are chains. This is a non-starter. But it's been pretty par for the course lately when it comes to Republicans managing elections. Our Week in Review panel is coming up. Our keyword before 9 a.m. for Free Ticket Friday for Brewers tickets to next Friday's game against the Cincinnati Reds is blue. Text BLUE, B-L-U-E, before 9 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Transforming your land with a John Deere compact tractor is as easy as connect, latch, load, haul, spread. Cutting grass is as simple as roll, click, mow. Box blading is as effortless as hook, lock, grade. And backhoeing is as convenient as turnaround, switch, dig. Because when you've got the versatility to tackle just about any job and dealer support in your own backyard, you just have to get in the seat. Find the right compact tractor for you at JohnDeere.com.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
We're, you know, looking at addressing potential issues, and the cost savings by doing it up front is just huge compared to what you have to go through after the fact, if there is an issue in place.
And it's a great segue into what I wanted to ask next. In part, you know, we do this show for our listeners and everything. Every once in a while, there's something that I'm saying directly to my father. And while my dad doesn't have a well, if he did, I would have to remind him that he should not try to tackle it himself. He should not try to fix it. Duct tape is not going to fix this one, Jim.
No.
It's not going to do it.
And that's hilarious because I actually know a specific well that I drive by every day on the way to work that has got duct tape wrapped around it. So I've got this mental picture of exactly what you're talking about in my head. No, wells are one of those things. Like, I appreciate DIY to your heart's content. Wells are one of those things. If you do have an issue, don't fix it yourself. Don't try. This is a place for licensed professionals to do. In fact, every time you open up a well cap, you're really running the risk of introducing bacteria. And so, and the state actually has a rule in place that if that well cap is opened and work is done on the well, they have to be doing a test
for
bacteria and stuff afterwards. And while there really probably isn't going to be somebody checking up to make sure that's done, it's a great rule of thumb. Just because, you know, it is something that you're directly consuming. And so really for your own safety, that's best left to the professionals.
And when you do have well problems, reaching out to our DNR, reaching out to our, is there certain places we should go?
Yeah. So two great resources. DNR maintains a list of certified well professionals across the entire state. If you want something locally, the Wood County Planning and Zoning Office also maintains a list of well professionals that work in the area commonly. So both great resources to go to find those folks.
Speaking with our good friend Jen McNally from UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Jen, you mentioned this a little bit before, that this is also a good time to be checking our septics and, yeah, and some of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, septic maintenance is required, and an inspection is required every 3 years by the county and state. So just making sure that you're on that routine of maintaining your septic system and having it inspected. If you're not sure where you are, you can call the planning and zoning office and they can let you know where you're at in that inspection process. And then if you have a septic tank, you should be having that pumped routinely as well. So I do think it's ironic that we're sponsored by Crockett Septic today. So it's a great reminder.
It's wonderful. That's what. Well done. Well done by you.
As well, which is great.
And what a cool resource that they're able to help you, like, especially if you're a new owner of a home or something. Yeah. And that's just one of those bits of information that got lost in the shuffle, that they're able to help you know, hey, we were able to check it two years ago or whatever it might be.
Yeah, exactly. And know where you're at, because that is one of those things, especially if you're not used to having a septic in a well. That can be a pretty steep learning curve for folks to try and figure out and find information. DNR, Department of Health Services, all have great basic information on how to learn about mm-hmm. both your septic and your well, which I encourage people to do, to take the time. They're pretty cool systems.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
So. And as far as things to look for when checking it out, the cracks or that, yep. that might be in place or something like that?
Yep. You want to just, you know, for both wells and septics, again, cracks, anything that looks like it's damaged, making sure that caps and lids are in place and like your septic tank lid is locked down. That's required in state statute. If you do stumble across something, it is not uncommon, especially in our rural areas, to stumble across an old septic system mm-hmm. or an old well that's no longer being used. And those things, in that case, we really want to make sure that we're getting those taken care of and out of the landscape. So for wells, we want to make sure that they're properly filled and sealed. Wells are like an unused well without a well cap. Just think about it. It's an open pipe. It's a direct conduit right down to your drinking water or local water resources. And so the possibilities for contamination really significantly increase. And frankly, the same thing happens for like an unused septic system, an unused tank. I mean, we still have in certain situations, pit wells, you know, not only the risk for contamination, some of those larger cisterns that are out there are really kind of dangerous for folks too. And so that same list of certified well professionals are going to have folks that can fill and seal those wells as well. And the cool thing when it comes to like filling and sealing wells, the County Land Conservation Department actually occasionally, depending on the budget, has money to cost share that because it's considered a best management practice. Mm-hmm. So if it's something you stumble across on your property and like, look, I really want to get this taken care of, definitely reach out to the Wood County Land and Water Conservation Department. Or if you're in a different county listening, reach out to your own land conservation department, because there may be funds available to help mm-hmm. pay for that.
It's
really cool.
It's awesome that they're doing it. Very yeah. smart that they're yeah. doing that. It's really cool to hear. And something that always good to remind people about, especially I don't know that that's common knowledge either. Another one of those bits of information I was talking about. Are there signs or indications of an unused well that we should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, absolutely. So for, you know, obvious one, pipe sticking out of the ground that you don't know what the heck they go to. That's usually a good one.
We've all seen that.
On old farms, a lot of times the old windmills that you see, those are usually connected to a well of some sort, because those windmills were used to help pump the water out of the ground.
Yeah.
So that's usually a good telltale sign.
Just between you and I just learned that.
See,
I did not
there
know
you
that.
Go,
oh my
right?
gosh, that's
so
awesome.
Now you're going to be driving around all over the place and yes. be like, hey, I bet I know what
yep.
that's for.
Yep.
Right? Old buildings, houses, they typically have a well associated with them. So if it's an abandoned, you know, building of some sort on your property, definitely check it out. Depressions in the ground. And then if you stumble across like a concrete tank or vault or pit, sometimes they have like lumber or metal that's been dragged over the top of them. Or even what I've seen too in certain cases is almost like a depression or a sinkhole, and people can't figure out why the land is like subsiding or sinking there. we don't naturally really have sinkholes in this area. So if that's occurring, there's usually a sign that there's something underground buried there. A great example of this is in Portage County, right by the county building. Their parking lot actually had a sinkhole.
Wow.
Come to find out.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Wisconsin corn growers have seen rust in the past, but a new type of rust could be costing you yield this year. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Rust has forced the harvest along in states like Nebraska, South Dakota, and now it's showing up in Wisconsin cornfields. Chad Stoudinger is a regional agronomist with Dairyland Seeds, and he explains why this rust is different than what many Wisconsin farms have encountered in the past.
Southern rust came in from Mexico, basically, and blew up to this portion of the U.S. this year. In some storm events in early spring. So it brought a new disease here. And so it mimics common rust, except that it's much more intense. It can shut down whole plants very quickly. It loves hot weather, hot heat and humidity, so above 77 degrees in humid conditions, which we had a lot of. Thankfully, in eastern Wisconsin, I don't think the impact is going to be yield limiting, but if we move to other parts of the state, it definitely is.
Chad Stoudinger is a regional agronomist with Dairyland Seed who's been observing this southern type of rust, and it could impact the harvest pace of Wisconsin farm fields. Might want to check in with your agronomist and see what their advice is. My advice on a Friday morning, if you're watching the markets right now, not bad.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastack Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force, outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastack.com. Available for the 2027 season.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey,
like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
Barrel cheese was unchanged yesterday in Chicago. 40-pound block cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 168 and a quarter, while the AA butter dropped a half to 180 and a half per pound. October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning up 6, 17.51. November's up 16, 17.15. Right now, December corn is up 3 at 4.26. November beans up 6, currently at 10.43. July new crop wheat, penny and a half higher, stands at 5.65 a bushel. Currently, that's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand rolling into a finally Friday trade session. More news anytime you want it, plus podcasts at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies for today. Most of the day will be dry, but a shower, perhaps a thunderstorm, possible late in the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. Showers and thunderstorms becoming more likely tonight. It'll be a mild night with lows in the upper 50s to near 60. Currently, it's 62.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Stuart Waddles. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Civic Media's own Terry Barr joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Coming up Monday on the program, we'll be talking to State Senator Kelda Royce, who announced at the start of this week that she is a candidate for governor. So we'll talk to her Monday about her entering the gubernatorial race for 2026. Then on Wednesday, in our homeroom segment, we will talk to Dr. Jill Underley, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Yesterday, she gave her State of Education address and said that the first thing we try to teach our school kids is to stand up to bullies. And right now, the biggest bully in education is this federal government. So we'll talk to Jill Underley about that coming up next Wednesday here on the program. We do want you texting in the word blue. That's our keyword for Free Ticket Friday. But while you're at the Civic Media app, there is that text feature to text us things like the word blue or comments or questions. But there's also a voice note feature. If you use that button instead, you can record a little audio message to us that we can listen to or that we could even play back on the radio. So check that out through the Civic Media app. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is here along with journalist Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. Nice to have you back here for this week's Week in Review panel. And Jennifer, we'll start with you because we've already discussed the pulling of Jimmy Kimmel in response to allegedly in response to things that he said. And by the way, if any of you missed that in the last segment, subscribe to us as a podcast over at Spotify and you'll never miss any of these segments. But what it risks doing here with this Jimmy Kimmel thing is we're now focused on the way the First Amendment is essentially being trashed by corporate media. And I think that that only fits the ongoing, what you and I would call sane washing of Charlie Kirk's record, that people are being made to feel afraid to speak the truth about this guy. And it is more important than ever to, as I said before, we're not going to do the deification of Charlie Kirk on this program.
I think we are in a perfect storm. The years of demonizing the media and, you know, embracing alternate facts, or did she say alternative facts, we're seeing the absolute impact of that right now. Facts do not matter. If you utter Charlie Kirk's name and you're not the right person doing that, there is a mob coming after you for your job. They're coming, you know, they're sending threats. It is a remarkable time in American history. You cannot say anything that the mob does not like, or you risk everything. And people are being fired for saying really pretty mild stuff. And there's a myth, I think, out there that people are celebrating and people are, you know, demonizing. And surely there is some of that because the internet is a big place. But the impression you might get from that is that it's Democratic politicians, that it's, you know, leaders of the opposition from, you know, well-known groups. It is not. But it is so consumed everybody and everything that up is down and down is up. It's an incredible thing.
It's what I always say about, you know, Ronald Reagan's welfare queens. There will always be at least one person gaming the system. And there will always be one immigrant who's committing a crime. And even if that's the only one, if you blow that up, people are going to think that's what everybody is doing. And that's what they're doing now with people who are not even criticizing Charlie Kirk, Mark Jacob. They're simply repeating his words back. And now you have from Congressman Derek Van Orden becoming a modern day Joseph McCarthy. You have, as Jennifer refers, this mob that begins at the very top with essentially a mob boss in the White House unleashing this mob, something that he's got experience doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, it's clear that the right wing is looking for excuses to become even more authoritarian than it already is. And so, I mean, they're just looking for pretexts. I mean, it's the whole, if people need to understand what the Reichstag fire was in Germany, and that was when somebody, it's still not even clear who, set the parliament on fire. Now, the Nazis reacted by getting rid of all civil rights and creating a dictatorship. So, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not making a one-to-one comparison with MAGA and Nazis, although I'd stop making any comparison if they'd stop acting like that. But what I'm saying is that they look for pretexts. Fascists look for pretexts. They want excuses to do terrible things. And the Kirk thing, which was a terrible act by, you know, a confused young man, is their pretext. And that's a thing. As Jennifer pointed out, you know, 2 months ago, Trump was posting about getting rid of Jimmy Kimmel. It's not that it didn't have anything to do with Charlie Kirk. Not a thing. That's just a pretext.
Yeah, exactly. And you have in this growing mob, Jim Santel, you have people who are, we've gone from support to allegiance to blind faith, and they are starting to lose sight of things like the difference between a king and a president. And that was a theme echoed this week by a sitting Supreme Court justice.
Sonia Sotomayor is in New York City at the NYU Law School. It's Constitution Day on Wednesday. We all celebrated that, right? Way back in 1787. A couple of years later, we passed a thing in the first Congress saying, yes, indeed, there's freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Gosh, those were the days, right? So Sonia Sotomayor is in New York, and she's talking all about these things. And she is saying, bemoaning the fact that Americans may no longer have a real clear civics understanding of how these things work, how the meanings of the Constitution, those words, do in fact have some significance. She also takes appropriately a shot at lawyers, which I appreciate. She says, I think the thing that gets me every time I listen to a lawyer-trained representative saying we should criminalize free speech in the same way, I think to myself, that law school has failed. If any student who becomes a lawyer hasn't been taught civics, then the law school has failed. And again, not only is there cynicism by this president and others in Washington, other places around the country, but it's so cynical because it relies upon the incapacity of Americans to understand how things work. And that's just not promoting institutional things. It's understanding what the First Amendment means. Not every single case it's been decided for 200 years, but the fundamental trappings of it. That's what she is bemoaning. And she is saying that in the midst of an internet that permits you to post anything that you want, that confusion only adds to this huge problem of lack of understanding about how things are supposed to work.
So we've got the cynicism that's out there, and it has become a self-fulfilling prophecy, which is a little odd because, I mean, people have been making cynical jokes about government as long as there have been governments. But it has that cynicism is built to such a level, Jennifer, that there's people that are willing to essentially allow a government to be overthrown and allow, you know, the First Amendment to be trashed because of their cynicism. It makes it hard to believe that there is a way to start to turn things back. And I'm putting this on your shoulders first, whether you want to talk about media companies or media consumers. What kinds of first steps are there that start to have more people understand the importance of the First Amendment and not allowing presidents to be dictators? I guess I'd go first just to say what we need is for networks, and I would also say for colleges and universities, a few more people to be especially vocal in standing up and resisting this trend.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. Right now, people are afraid. At every level, people are afraid. And we need more people to be brave and stand up to everything that Trump is doing and remind your neighbors, your family, what the Constitution says, free speech, what it really means, and maybe even dig down to the granular stuff. I mean, one of the things about the Kimmel story that really bothers me is what he said and what he didn't say is not in most of the news coverage. He actually, all of MAGA is saying, he said a MAGA person killed Jimmy or Charlie Kirk. He did not. He was making fun of Donald Trump. And I scoured news coverage yesterday in the follow-up stories about the Jimmy Kimmel suspension. And I couldn't find many that actually had what Kimmel said and also reflected what MAGA is saying he said. So it's an interesting, there is an Earth 2 over here. And I think people need to really understand that and appreciate it and then try to puncture it. And I think one of the ways we fight back against that is I think we have to start really leaning into alternative communication things. I think network news is on its way out. So what's going to replace it? You know, where's Jimmy Kimmel going to pop up next? He's not going to go back to ABC News or ABC. I doubt it. Where's he going to come? There's got to be alternative spaces. We already know that there are. I think we have to also help support the ones that are there and grow them, like Courier and things like that. And maybe that's a start.
Yeah. Let's look at another dimension of this, Mark. And it's not, we've been talking about ABC a lot here, but let's talk about the affiliates and the affiliate ownership. And now I'm really going to show my age, because I grew up at a time when we had what was called the rule of sevens. The most anybody could own was seven AMs, seven FM radio stations, and seven TV stations. And that was it. And now we have these groups that own dozens and dozens of stations and
hundreds of stations.
And if they have right-wing ownership and biases like Sinclair and maybe Nexstar as well, it's those affiliate groups that are truly the big corporate media, arguably more so than the networks. And that is that just is blaring antitrust issues in my mind, Mark.
Well, that's a key thing, because while ABC as an entity doesn't, you know, get regulated, or they don't have to be sanctioned by the FCC, they're not licensed by the FCC. The individual stations, local stations, are licensed by the FCC. And that's where the Brendan Carr has them, you know, by the neck. I mean, and what you have is Nexstar, for example, which was part of the whole Kimmel thing, you know, got that ball rolling. They have a deal now to get even bigger. That's got to be approved by Brendan Carr and the FCC. So clearly they're going to do whatever Trump wants in order to get bigger and bigger. And you know, if people are complaining about the lack of disparate voices and lack of free speech, which the right wing was talking about, at least during the Biden administration, they need to be looking at these monopolies that are being built up. And you know, if you're Trump, you want monopolies if they're beholden to you, because that just shuts everyone else out. And so Sinclair and Nexstar and places like that are extremely powerful now because they're completely controlled by Trump and they'll do whatever he wants.
And again, not to get too deep in the weeds, although I'm always tempted to do like the entire 3-hour show, Jim, on Hungary and what we're now, I think a lot more people are learning the word urbanization for Viktor Orban. And I've only got a couple of seconds here, but I mean, I think people are right to be concerned about government not necessarily owning media, but having very friendly people in those ownership positions.
Absolutely. Very brief point. There is still an antitrust division inside the Department of Justice that should be attacking the very monopolies, those things. We used to do that. We don't do that anymore under this administration.
That's right. Jim Santel, you can hear him on Amicus Law Review Saturdays at 9. You can get Indistinct Chatter from Jennifer Schulze on Substack. And you can get Stop the Presses from Mark Jacob at stopthepresses.news through couriernewsroom.com, all part of our amazing Week in Review panel. And again, Free Ticket Friday, the keyword until 9 a.m. to text us is blue. Your chance to be in the running for a drawing for 4 tickets to see the Brewers versus Cincinnati next Friday night. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger.
It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this September 18th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We want to thank our friends over at Crockett Septic, of course, sponsoring the show. And, of course, sponsoring this segment, our great friends over at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank, giving us an opportunity to go to Rome and visit Rome with our good friend, Jillian. Jillian, how you doing?
Good. Definitely busy. Feels like we're kind of winding down in the summer, but based on the past few days' weather, I don't know if we're in, like, third summer, fourth summer.
Yeah, it does seem like it's having a second wind, summer does and everything. Yeah. Jillian, we love all the work that you guys do over there at Visit Rome Bureau and the things that you're doing to highlight the area. And as it's growing over there and we're able to cover even more events and everything, we also love that we're able to kind of remind people about certain things going on that happen quite consistently and you can go and check out. We're going to start off with a couple of those.
Yeah. So, kicking off on Thursday, September 18th, today, Shandini Dinner Magic at Hoozles at the Lakes is running from 6 to 8 p.m. Shandini's magic is top-notch. Starting as a street performer, he developed his craft, remarkable skill, and unique style over the years. He is a member of the International Brotherhood of Magicians with over 20 years of experience. And he will be performing roving magic. So come and grab some food, enjoy some excellent close-up sleight of hand magic. And if you can't make it tonight, he will also be performing October 16th, November 20th, and December 18th at that 6 to 8 time frame at Hoozles.
Yeah, catch him any of those times, and catch him more than that, because he doesn't really do reruns either. He's got a lot of fun things that he's doing with this, and he's been crafting this a long time. He's very good at what he does, and something you can see kind of consistently in the Rome area.
Mm-hmm.
Another consistent thing you have over there for at least a couple more weeks is the Rome Farmers Market.
Yeah, we're down to our final two Fridays of the summer version of the Farmers Market. This Friday, September 19th, and then next Friday, September 26th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., join us in the Rome Town Center by the gazebo. We have talented vendors selling everything from handmade goods to seasonal treats, flowers to fresh produce, and we're sure you'll find something you'll love.
Buy local, support local, support our vendors, everybody. And keep in mind, the farmer markets are, there's just something going on for everybody. There's so much fun over there. Be sure to check that out. All these are great events that we've talked about already, and we got other consistent events coming up. But then you bring us these events every once in a while, Jillian, that are very unique and very different. And they got a really fun one they're doing at with our friends over at Hoozles at the Lakes. And we say a shout out to them.
Yeah. So that'll be tomorrow night, Friday, September 19th, from 4:30 p.m. to about 10:30, 11, until the party stops, I guess.
Yeah.
They have a no run, rock out, 0K, and concert for cancer. This event is hosted by the Fighting From Start to Finish Foundation. And if you're like, Jillian, what is a 0K? That makes zero sense. It's the perfect event for those who just want to support a great cause but don't want to break a sweat. Basically, you show up at the starting line, you wait, and boom, you're done.
Yeah, that's it.
And then you get to celebrate your participation with a token of completion at the finish line, which is also the starting line. And then after that, actually before it, there are food trucks and family-friendly games available from 4:30 p.m. to about 7. And then from 7 to 10, Boogie and the Yo-Yos are going to be performing at Hoozles at the Lakes.
One of our best bands. Yes. One of the best bands to come out of this area. Period. Yes. Like, I love the people over there. Great band, great people. I've enjoyed their concerts. I've gotten to introduce them at concerts before and MC for them. Wonderful human beings. Yes. I'm not surprised to see them a part of this. And it's going to be a really good show, too, especially if you haven't seen Boogie and Yo-Yos before. Wow.
Yeah.
To be able to see them for the first time, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's free.
Yeah, yeah.
This entire event is free other than any food you buy, of course.
These participants have been, going around raising funds in awareness about cancer to help out with this important cause that affects so many of us. And I love that these different groups of people are involved. Our friends at Hoozles, who are wonderful human beings and awesome. Boogie and Yo-Yo, same thing. And all of you out there that are going to be attending this event. That's really cool. It's going to be a good one. Shout out to them for that one. I hope it goes well. This Saturday, September 20th, Oktoberfest celebration. Oh, one of my favorite words, Oktoberfest. Love it.
Yeah, that'll be at the Up North Brewing Company, running from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. It's their second annual Oktoberfest, and they promise that this year will be better than last. Enjoy a mug of their Northtoberfest special beer in an Up North mug with 10% off of each refill after that initial payment.
Nice.
Music provided by the Bruggen family from 12 to 4 p.m. Food from the Daily Special food truck, which they didn't tell me the exact menu, but it's German specials.
Sure. Here, Oktoberfest? Yeah, lead into it. Yeah.
And then the American Legion Post serving up burgers, brats, your good old-fashioned cookout food.
Shout out to our American Legion.
And
That's
then
awesome.
Pretzels and, I believe, beer cheese provided by Slice of Heaven Bakery, which if you haven't been there in Rome, go there.
Good stuff. Yes. I haven't had a lot, but what I've had from there, I remember that name.
Yes.
And I have not had there, like, I don't know if I've had a freshly made pretzel before. I love pretzels. Mm-hmm. And the idea of that sounds amazing to me. That's going to be fun. And we get to celebrate Oktoberfest. That's a lot of grand. That's a good event. Looking forward to that one. And then this Sunday, September 21st, got another big event going on over with our friends at Deracuse.
Yeah, it's actually their final race of the 2025 season at Deracuse Recreational Park. It's the Rapid Angels D16 Hare Scramble. That'll kick off at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning until about 9, 10 p.m. that night, whenever all of the races are done.
Yeah.
Gates open at 7 a.m. Sorry, excuse me. Gates open at 7 a.m. on Sunday, and then gate fee is $10 per person. online sign-up is required to participate in the event. No in-person registration will be available. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not riding or you're like, oh, I don't want to get on anything motorized, Derrick Hughes has around 4 miles of new trail that will be added to the race course. So make sure you just check it out, whether you ride or you spectate it.
And again, this is another one of those events where if you haven't been anything to an event over at Derrick Hughes or something like that, boy, check this out. This is a great one to be introduced to. And with the season wrapping up, it's going to give you something to look forward to next year because these
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Late night talk show host lined up in Jimmy Kimmel's corner after ABC suspended him indefinitely over comments about murdered conservative activist Charlie Kirk. CBS's Stephen Colbert, whose own show goes away in May.
Ladies and gentlemen, we live in unsettling times with rising autocracy targeting America's most vulnerable. Talk show hosts.
Chinese state media report President Trump and Xi Jinping are on the phone right now on a deal to save TikTok. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The deal, says Trump, would remove China's ownership from the social media app. President Trump and the previous administration both cited national security concerns for banning TikTok in the U.S.
Officials in Washington state believe they've found the remains of a father who disappeared after murdering his three young daughters in May.
We're able to get an on-the-ground confirmation they were human remains. We've since collected some items from that and sending it out to Washington State Patrol's crime lab to see if we can get DNA confirmation if it is Mr. Decker.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.